Chapter 17. A tender nerve twinged as the old lady passed me the cup of tea. She looked just like Mrs. Beck. One of the local churches was having a social evening to entertain us lonely airmen, and as I accepted the cup and sat down, I could hardly withdraw my eyes from the lady's face. Mrs. Beck. I could see her now standing by the surgery window.
"Oh, I never thought you were such a heartless man, Miss Elliot."
Her chin trembled, and she looked up at me reproachfully. "But Mrs. Beck," I said, "I assure you that I am not being in the least heartless. I just cannot carry out a major operation on your cat for 10 shillings.
"Well, I thought you'd have done it for a poor widow woman like me."
I regarded her thoughtfully, taking in the small, compact figure, the healthy cheeks, the neat helmet of grey hair pulled tightly into a bun. Was she really a poor widow? There was cause for doubt. Her next-door neighbour in Wayton Village was a confirmed sceptic. "It's all at sale, Mr. Elliot," he'd said. "She tried it on with everybody, but I'll tell you this. She's got a long stocking. Owns property all over the place." I took a deep breath. "Mrs. Beck, we often do work at reduced rates for people who can't afford to pay, but this is what we call a luxury operation."
"Luxury?"
The lady was aghast.
"Yeah, I've been telling you how Georgina keeps having them kittens. She's at it all the time, and it's getting me down. I can't sleep for worrying when Necklock's come in."
She dabbed her eyes.
"Look, I understand, and I'm sorry. I can only tell you again that the only way to prevent this trouble is to spay your cat, and the charge is £1. "Nay, I can't afford that much."
I spread my hands. "But you are asking me to do it for half the price. That's ridiculous. This operation involves the removal of the uterus and ovaries under a general anaesthetic. You just can't do a job like that for 10 shillings.
Oh, you are cruel."
She turned and looked out of the window, and her shoulders began to shake.
"You won't even take pity on a poor widow."
This had been going on for 10 minutes, and it began to dawn on me that I was in the presence of a stronger character than myself. I glanced at my watch. I should have been on my round by now, and it was becoming increasingly obvious that I wasn't going to win this argument. I sighed. Maybe she really was a poor widow. "All right, Mrs. Beck, I'll do it for 10 shillings, just this once. Will Tuesday afternoon be all right for you?" She swung round from the window, her face crinkling magically into a smile.
"That'll suit me, Grandy, that's right, kind of you."
She tripped past me and I followed her along the passage. "Just one thing," I said, as I held the front door open for her. "Don't give Georgina any food from midday on Monday. She must have an empty stomach when you bring her in."
"Bring her in?"
She was a picture of bewilderment.
"But I haven't got no care. I thought you'd be collecting her."
"Collecting?
But Raiden's 5 miles away." "Yes, I'll bring her back afterwards, too. I've no transport." "Collect? Operate on her? Take her back, all for 10 shillings?
She was still smiling, but a touch of steel glinted in her eyes.
"Well, that's what you agreed to charge. 10 shillings. But, oh, now you're starting again."
The smile faded, and she put her head on one side.
"And I'm only a poor..."
"Okay, okay," I said hastily. "I'll call on Tuesday." And when Tuesday afternoon came, I cursed my softness. If that cat had been brought in, I could have operated on her at 2 o'clock and been on the road doing my farm calls by 2:30.
I didn't mind working at a loss for half an hour, but how long was this business going to take?
On my way out, I glanced through the open door of the sitting room. Tristan was supposed to be studying, but he was sleeping soundly in his favourite chair. I went in and looked down at him, marvelling at the utter relaxation, seen only in a dedicated sleeper. His face was as smooth and untroubled as a baby's. The Daily Mirror, open at the comic strips, had fallen across his chest, and a burnt-out woodbine hung from one dangling hand. I shook him gently. "Like to come with me, Triss? I've got to pick up a cat." He came round slowly, stretching and grimacing, but his fundamental good nature soon reasserted itself.
"Certainly, Jim,"
he said with a final yawn. "It will be a pleasure."